Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed.
But I'm gonna be in the hood giving out circles like Nino Brown, baby. Like Nino Brown, trying to restore my community.
The guys who give you Flex ATX and the right call. Snoop, Zay. The Snoop and Zay Morning Remix. Remix. On the Horn.
What's your fantasy? My fantasy tomorrow is to eat a lot of fried turkey, some macaroni and cheese baked. Make sure you bake it, people. I don't want no Easy Mac. Some dressing, that giblet gravy. Yeah, we're going to go crazy. We're going to go crazy tomorrow. You're still listening to Snoop and Zay, the Horn Morning Remix. The Horn 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Keep hitting us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. We've been talking about everything these last 3 hours, from hoops, high school football, hip-hop, music, everything in between. Is dressing and stuffing the same? I don't know. We'll ask our guest that we have sitting in today. He is the co-host of Flex ATX with Snoop Daniel, so you hear him on these airwaves often. Zach Lucero, what's poppin', bro?
What up, man? I feel like this is like the Thanksgiving where I pull up at my Thanksgiving and then I bring a friend and they just want like the rolls and the white meat and they're like, hey, why is there enchiladas on the table?
Not just the white meat, what?
They're like, why is there enchiladas on the table at Thanksgiving? That's what my Thanksgiving is like, a little more diverse.
Enchiladas?
We got it all. We got the tamales, we got the enchiladas at my Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so.
We got the fideo on the side, whatever.
What's the dessert? What's the popular dessert? Because I don't want to disrespect you and just
it's a little regular. For me, it's the apple pie for me.
Apple pie?
Yeah.
Okay. Simple American classic.
Yeah.
No ice cream on top, no bluebell, just regular.
I got both. My dad's Hispanic, my mom's white, so I got the apple pie and then the side of the enchiladas.
Okay. Know? And then the pumpkin pie. You said white, the pumpkin pie.
I don't do the pumpkin pie.
What?
I don't do pumpkin.
Look, don't sleep on pumpkin. I know we get a lot of that.
I'm off the pumpkin. I'm off the pumpkin spice. I don't carve pumpkins. I don't do none of that.
Yeah. This is the sweet potato pie edition of the morning show because that.
Racist.
It's not racist.
No, I was playing.
It's not racist. Like what Jerry Seinfeld say, how can it be racist if I love the race?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? Can't be racist if I love the race. But we're the sweet potato pie edition and the pumpkin pie edition this afternoon filling in for RBKD. Cameron Parker, Patrick Davis, Stephen Kabler, they going to, you know.
It's when your parents take you off the aux because they got too many cuss words in your music.
That's not that. We ain't going to say that. Those guys hold it down. Those guys do great work. I love all those guys, man. So, okay. So, Zach, you said, so are you a dressing or stuffing guy?
I say dressing, I think.
You say dressing?
Yeah.
Dressing. Well, people say it's not. I think it's the same thing. Me too.
I think it's the same thing.
I've always felt like the stuffing is literally stuffed. I didn't know cornbread was the, you know.
But I'm not gonna lie. Do people really be putting the stuffing like in the turkey? Like people eat my thing. I don't think I've ever had a Thanksgiving where the stuffing is like inside the turkey. It's always been like the turkey.
So you're
on this
showing
plate.
your culture right now.
The turkey on this plate. The
dressing on a whole different pan.
Yeah. And you'd be passing it around. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. But I know some people out there go with the stuffing. So, all right, fellas, let's break down high school football playoff time. As E. Hogan says, if you have practice at Thanksgiving, then you're doing something right. You're having a good season. So what we got going on this weekend, fellas?
I think it's huge. I think the Thanksgiving practice is always like a goal coming into the seasons. To be practicing on Thanksgiving. Last year, Snoop, you remember, was super weird, where it's like if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, it's like regular week 3 of the season. So last year was a little
bit different.
Yeah,
the season went into January.
But we're back into it. We got a bunch of good games on these airways. I guess we could start with those. Vandergriff playing Edinburgh Vela. A little bit of an upset in the last round on both sides of the ball. We got Vandergrift with a huge upset, kind of a statewide conversation started with their big shutout over Cibolo Steel, 38-0. Playing Edinburgh Vela, who had a shutout had an upset on their behalf as well, beating San Antonio Taft. It's not a lot of times that those Valley schools go and beat the bigger Metroplex schools like San Antonio and then have a chance to beat Austin school. Now, a little bit about Edinburgh Vela, Snoop. I asked my friend who coaches over at Smithson Valley. Their head coach used to be the coach over at Brandeis, who you know was a pretty good San Antonio program, who now ended up in Edinburgh Vela. What are you looking for in that matchup? I know in your long tenured coverage of high school sports, you haven't seen a lot of Valley teams beat the Austin area teams, but it's always kind of a fun matchup to get around this time.
Well, yeah, and it's always known as Valley Week because normally it's almost like a free square in the past, and people just automatically think that we're going to beat the team from down south. But for me, I feel Vandergrift's shutout, 38-0 of a previously unbeaten team at their home stadium is a warning shot for who they might play in the quarterfinals.
So yeah, the Valley Week is kind of like the ladder in the Chutes and Ladders game. You know, you like get to skip a couple steps because you get all the way to the regional finals with the win over a Valley school.
Who are the players to look for Vander Griff?
So there's actually been a bunch of articles. There's like 15,000 different high school sports medias and stuff, and a couple of them are talking about Braden Buchanan, the Vandergrift quarterback, as one of the players of the game, one of the players of the year. This kid's a big body junior quarterback, probably maybe 6'2", pretty thick, kind of look like a tight end. Not as big as you, you're more like a nose maybe, but he looked like a tight end.
Hold up, I can move though, Zach.
Yeah, you like the Aaron Donald
move.
Nose.
Yeah, like the, yeah, man, I'll get up under you. I got the long arms and stuff. Look. If a scout was looking at me, not on the field, off the field, I'm a scout's dream on the D-line.
Have you seen you navigate the Thanksgiving, buffet?
Yeah, and I'm not too proud to say that, you know, your boy was put on the line during his middle school era, and that took a lot of love out of the game for your boy. You know, I could have been more. They wanted to put me at tight end, Snoop. During the wishbone era, that don't make sense.
80 hot.
Yeah, I can't be blocking all the time. I'm more like Unc Shannon Sharp.
Hey,
I can move. I got twinkle toes. You know
when they throw the ball in middle school, which is very rare, but they ain't throwing it to the tight end.
Yo, I had 2 touchdowns, though.
In middle school?
Don't sleep on me. They only threw my way 3 times total, but I had 2 touchdowns out of that. So, yeah, holla at your boy.
I assume Braden Buchanan, the quarterback, committed to Baylor for baseball.
A catcher,
yeah. So big time arm, has a lot of zip on the ball. He's really come alive the last couple weeks of the season.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep cutting you off. Could he have played football somewhere?
So he's only a junior, sure. And you know, Vandergrift had a quarterback last year. His name was Ryan Back. I don't think he was like the caliber of player. He's a really good high school player, but not the same as Braden Buchanan. And this was a guy that had a lot of looks for baseball headed into his senior year. And then sure enough, now he's playing football at Trinity. So, I mean, this big-time state run that they're on, hopefully, that can really kind of recency bias your mind to being like, man, I really love this football stuff. Let me look at that. So, Snoop, Braden Buchanan, one of the better quarterbacks in the area.
Yeah, and I tweeted that we're probably going to see Klubnik versus Buchanan, and if it happens and Westlake plays Vandergrift after this week and both teams win on Friday, it'll be the biggest local game. I mean, I feel bigger than Lake Travis and Westlake because of the trend and the newness, really, of Vandergrift. I mean, they've been around now since 2010, but they still feel like a new program to me.
So speaking of Westlake takes on Far San Juan this weekend. Another member of Valley Week, but Westlake, man, looking unstoppable.
Yeah, 70 points last week, and yeah, I know he hates it.
Again, like you know how hard it is, and again, I respect all the guys at Westlake. I respect Coach Dodge to the T, but as a Bowie alum, you know how frustrating it is. Like we feel like Tech. You know, it feels like we're Texas Tech in football all the time. Like, just forgot about, but we'll be in the games all the time. And then I have to hear this team three-peat. like not only state championship, but people are talking about national championship with this Chaparral's team. Like that's one of the most frustrating things as a Bowie alum to hear. Cause again, I want to be there, Snoop. I want the stadium. I want the guy going to, well, even though my man's going to UTSA, but it ain't Clemson. I know that. So, yeah, whoever we meet in the playoffs, we going to keep rolling because we got to put some, we need some trophies up in that new beautiful complex that they got over there in Southwest Austin at the Bowie campus.
Bowie used to be like so good. Like they're really one of like the more story programs in the Austin area. It's like those real small schools that you see like the black and the white footage of. Like the first ever national championship was won by this school. But Bowie used to be like the powerhouse, and then like Travis comes along and kind of starts stealing some of the players away. The rise of Westlake, schools like Vandergriff don't really help either. There's just so much talent dispersed because there's so many schools here in the Austin area that's starting to disperse that talent. But Westlake looking deserving of that number two in the nation spot.
Yeah, Kate Klubnik is back for revenge. We were talking earlier.
Revenge? They won it last year.
Well, he's back for revenge after getting hurt. He's motivated. He had the game taken away from him for a couple of games. And so that I think that might have built an even like bigger fire in him. But also on the defensive side of the ball, Judson Crockett is really coming on strong. Number four, he returned an extra point for a 2-point conversion and almost had a pick six the week prior. Luke Aaron, the senior safety, is coming on, and it don't stop after this year. Nathan Acosta got 2 touchdowns last game. He's just a sophomore. Denham Collins, a sophomore. Jack Kaser, number 33, who's looked like an all-state running back as a sophomore. Diminutive in stature, but dominant in play. Westlake has talent now and talent that's going to return next year. And I mean, we could be talking 4-peat. I really mean it.
I'm not trying to hear that. again, this Westlake team, how many college players do you think when it's said and done, because what, there any freshmen on this varsity team?
Not this year.
Okay.
Not like Jaden Greathouse.
Okay, so when
it's gonna be like
the 2024 season's over, obviously we're just assuming, how many college players do you think they're gonna put out?
You know, and it's kind of a weird question too, because last year you technically didn't have the big time ESPN 300 guys, but you had 2 guys go to Texas on walk-ons. So
right with the Zane Miners and Michael Taft.
Right. So just Westlake obviously has those connections to UT. So I feel like a lot of those like top tier talent, but maybe not the highest tier, can get the opportunity to go play D1. But of just the scholarship guys, I think we're looking at 7, 6, 7.
The line for sure this year. TJ Callahan is just a junior, but you talk about Connor Robertson and Bray Lynch. Lynch headed to Indiana. Robertson headed to the 40 Acres. Yeah, that's just on the line there. And
on offense, it's like 6.
So Jaden definitely going D1. Kate, of course.
Kubeka
is going Division 1.
Really exciting for you to watch. They got to look into a big 6'5" receiver.
They got a guy, Pierce Hudson, I believe, like a guy that's not really getting much playing time at all, has a walk-on offer to A&M. So it's,
yeah, Westlake, Far San Juan this weekend. Speaking of the Bowie Bulldogs, I think you could call it an upset. I think both teams kind of having kind of mid seasons up to this point. But Bowie beating Smithson Valley, a big power from the San Antonio area, taking on San Antonio Brennan, who Tommy Hartman at Vandergrift thinks is going to go to state. So this Brennan Bulldogs team, another San Antonio school, they had a...
Yeah, smack those lips, Snoop.
No,
smack those lips.
I am. Like,
what's up about this team that state? That's a big assumption.
It's just weird saying a San Antonio school not named Steele or not named,
right.
Not named Judson going to state. But Brennan went to state a couple years ago. They sent a defensive end to Texas. This was like... probably maybe 10 years ago, pretty close. But a bunch of speed, they throw the ball around a bunch, which is weird because Vandergriff played this Brennan team last year in the playoff run, and I was there, and it wasn't like that. You know, it wasn't like this dominant Brennan team, and the quarterback was so good, and it's the same quarterback, but they switched around the offense, they're throwing the ball a lot, they have a lot of speed. But speed is something that Bowie has had a lot of success against. You saw him beat Round Rock.
Yeah, it's and both of their wins, which is why I'm emotionally invested in this team. I think most critics would have said that they were underdogs, and they've come out on the winning edge. Real quick, just to answer a text, the Westlake defensive end is Ethan Burke, who's had an offer from.
I think he got a Division One.
Yes. Like, will definitely. Yeah. There we go. And then somebody like on cue hit Ethan Burke. Yeah, Ethan Burke has had a huge breakout year. But yeah, Bowie. Mainly they run the ball. Noah Camacho
is one of the most dynamic. That's the guy that doesn't have the offers, but is just a really, really good high school player. We saw him in the running back from Round Rock last year. But just a dynamic, dynamic player. Noah Camacho texted my friend who coaches over at Smithson Valley. He was like, dude, why didn't you tell me about this running back? And we followed him at 7-on-7, and 7-on-7 is kind of weird for his type of play at running back. But he just breaks tackles, super physical, has enough speed to take it to the house. This game should be fun. Yeah. If Bowie wins this game, they're on the up and up for sure.
The darlings, and they have. I want to shout out just a couple of the defenders because I know we're mostly talking offense, but Aaron Gall, a junior who also plays baseball for Bowie, is having an all state caliber year. He's just going crazy each and every week. And then Saul Garcia, their returning lead tackler from last year, has had a big season. They've just had really the defense has been their calling card this year. And kudos to Bowie, man. They're practicing on Thanksgiving, and they haven't been to a round three game since 2016, and that was the year that they lost to the Woodlands at McLean Stadium in Baylor, and eventually Lake Travis
Woodlands went to state. Yeah,
and Woodlands went to state,
then lost to
Lake Travis. I mean, they had Charlie Brewer, Kay Brewer, Malik Barkley. That was a really good LT team.
Zay, Bowie Bulldogs, you been keeping up?
Enough to know that they're tough this year. Like my guy D. Hansen and Steve Foster, they hold it down on the bat for the Bowie broadcast. So those guys always keep me informed and up to date. And Coach Abels is going to be at my wedding. So, you know, one of the guys who's always just been behind my corner, and I've known since I was a little kid, one of my dad's best friends. So I know the type of guy he is and how hard that he's worked throughout his Bowie career. And yeah, I'm really excited. Like y'all probably do remember, but a lot of people don't know, Michael and Marcus Griffin, they didn't make it out the first round during their Bowie time. So, you know, Texas football, it's real. We all know that. And even to make it to this point, I know the Westlakes and the Lake Travis out there, you know, have all the accolades and credentials, but teams like Bowie and the smaller schools, we talked about Marble Falls earlier, like those schools, I'm glad they're getting the recognition they deserve.
Speaking of Lake Travis, one more win for Bowie. Zay, you're all boosted up. You're ready to be out into society again. Bowie takes on Lake Travis. They get past Brennan. You going? You pulling up?
I might pull up to that.
I think you got to, man. Speaking of Lake Travis, also on this airway, on this particular station, Lake Travis, United South, we'll talk about that when we get back.
Yeah, appreciate that, Zach. Appreciate you coming in. We got y'all for high school football, the two gurus of Flex ATX, Snoop Daniel, Zach Lucero. I'm Zay Collier. We'll be back with the Horn Morning Remix.
The Snoop and Zay Morning Remix on the Horn.
Ooh, what y'all know about this? We were talking about Monica and Brandy earlier. This is that Monica, every time the beat drop. Jermaine Dupri on the board.
Shout out to JD, man.
Snoop, how do you feel about Jermaine Dupri?
He's great.
He's a legend, right?
He discovered Crisscross when they were like 9 years old, and I think Jermaine Dupri was like 18.
Yo, that story is mad ignorant, because he saw Crisscross at the mall macking, and he said he didn't even know if they could rap yet. And he was like, yo, are these guys? These guys got it. I don't know what it is.
Swag.
Yeah, but I'm going to showcase that somehow in some way. And yeah, made everybody jump.
The Brat.
Yeah, the Brat. Lil Bow Wow.
Jermaine Dupri.
Escape.
Yes, Escape.
Jacket Edge.
Yeah, all that ATL.
Zach, what you know about that, bro?
I seen the movie ATL.
Yeah. It's good.
Yo, that's a classic too.
That ATL. Is a classic. I don't think enough people like that movie.
Some people put ATL in the same category as like Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society, even though it's not as dark.
Oh yeah, those Boys in the Hood. When I left Menace to Society, I thought I was going to die or somebody was going to kill me.
Why?
Because it was traumatic. The way Kane died at the end, and then like everything.
Did he die? Are we assuming that he died? Well,
he got lit up pretty good.
He got lit up.
Oh God, man, and really, I thought Jada Pinkett at that time was okay.
Ooh,
I thought she was.
What you talking about?
Well, because I was coming off of Tisha Campbell.
Oh, okay. So you're on your
Halle Berry.
So you're on your real yellow bone.
Not necessarily. Shoot.
Tisha Campbell from Martin. Yes. Everybody.
Oh, she's a high yellow.
Oh, high yellow. Like, and she looked good on My Wife and Kids with Damon Wayans too. Yes. Like she. You know, Dwayne Martin messed all that up. His real wife, Tisha Campbell Martin. But yeah, okay. Yeah, Jada Pinkett, yeah, she was popping.
She was, I thought Jada Pinkett was the hottest in Jason's Lyric.
Okay.
That movie, I thought that's when she started to ascend. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well. Big fan of the actresses.
Yeah, yeah. One thing about Menace, it is depressing because it seems like a traumatic event happens every 15 minutes to Kane, or something really bad happens where you're like, yo, I understand what you meant by you thought you were going to die after seeing Menace. It was very, very.
Because it was a bunch of drive-bys and random murders, and it made me, I'm scared. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but anyway. But, you know, fiction, that's what, you know, movie is an escape.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. All right, fellas. So a player that. We're gonna throw it back a little bit because we've been talking about high school football and stuff like that. And this guy that I'm about to bring up, Longhorn fans probably don't like him that much. It makes sense. He's an Aggie. But he's a former Westlake Chaparral. And I'm 30. This guy, he's around 32 probably. Back in the day, I didn't even know he played football. Like, he played for Westlake Hoops. Which was the Westlake.
He hooped.
I'm about to say, yeah, he was a big time hooper, yeah.
He hooped. And we had battles. And I'm like, yo, this guy, he has bounced like Mac McClung, who went to Texas Tech, who Coach Beard coached for 1 year. You remember Mac McClung, he had all the viral videos.
That's probably like his comp, honestly.
Yeah, straight up. And I'm talking about Ryan Swope, who was a Texas A&M legend, and then should still be playing in the NFL. Tragic to what happened. I forgot what happened exactly. I don't know if he was Chris Sims to where it was something internally that got him sidelined to where he couldn't play for the Cardinals or play.
Oh, no. It was a medical deal.
Yeah.
That they discovered after he was drafted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I probably like blinked out for a second. Craig came here and dropped me off coffee.
Yeah, the legend came, dropped off coffee for you.
But yeah, Ryan Swope was a beast. The only reason they didn't win, because that was the 1 year that I did play-by-play for Westlake, and that was my first football play-by-play gig, and I was not ready, and I was doing Westlake, and I heard about how I wasn't, you know, ready to do it, and it made me a lot better, let me tell you. Like, nothing makes you better like messing up and then somebody correcting you and you wanting to do the right thing and doing it. But yeah, they lost to San Antonio Clark in the state quarterfinals, and the only reason they won is because Clark just basically held the ball and kept it away from Westlake. They had a lefty quarterback. God, he wound up going to Wake Forest. Tanner Price was a quarterback, but Ryan truly was Superman. We called him Superman Swope.
He might have been the most athletic white boy I've ever seen. And he would hit half-court shots.
Yeah.
Thank God he played football, because if we would have saw him on a basketball court, we would have had a problem.
Dude, honestly, like that's kind of started to change over the last couple of years, but it used to be like anybody that was anything at football also played basketball too. Like,
yeah.
They were multi-sport, but now like it's been so like so specific, like sport-specific now, like with your outside coaches, your trainers and all this stuff. Like, it's hard to play both.
Yo,
Garrett Wilson was really one of the last big time like football players to be like that level basketball player as well.
Yeah, he was.
And he didn't play his senior year.
No,
he didn't. I think he was already in Columbus.
You know what? And that made Brett Beatty, who is now in the Mets farm system and a first round pick in the Major League Baseball, that made him go back to playing. Because he had quit hoops to concentrate on baseball, and when Garrett
his dad's
left,
the coach.
He played for his dad his senior year, and Beatty took them to the state.
Big dude.
And then they lost to Bowie.
Yes, sir.
They got beat. They got that butt beat by Bowie.
I'm not gonna lie. Like Travis had about three players out. I don't think Thorpe played. Oldest son.
Well, he didn't play the whole year. I don't know what was up with that.
Where's he at?
He was at Cal. I guess he could potentially be. I know his mom, Nella. So Nella, the fact that I don't know where your son is right now, I apologize, but yeah, but he didn't play, no.
And then they had somebody that went to Texas State.
Ryan Borman.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was nice with it. I liked his game. They were both out, and CeCe took advantage.
Bowie stomped at them.
Yeah.
I think it was a 20-plus point win, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Colton Benson. Army, West Point.
Wonder how
he's at.
Yeah.
He's doing well. He's playing for their prep team. Mm-hmm. Which they make every freshman play for their prep team, which you play against the top prep high schools or other schools with prep teams because, you know, it's so hard for a normal person to adapt to that Army West Point lifestyle while also being an athlete. So they give him that 1 year to, you know, kind of get his feels out. But yeah, fellas, Ryan Swope was serious, man.
People said
concussions is why he did.
Was he the best high school football player you ever saw? Like live in person?
Live? Yeah. Yeah.
I always say, so I like go to state every year with my dad, so everyone always assumes that I'll say Kyler Murray, but the best high school player I ever saw live was Garrett Gilbert. We played him when I was in high school. They played Hendrickson, and Kenny Williams was there, the running back, went on to Tech, and we were like gonna beat them. And that was like when like Travis had lost in forever. They were on like the state record like winning streak, and we were about to beat them. And we were in the student section like talking about how we were gonna rush the field, and then we lost, so we didn't do it. But Snoop, best high school player you've seen in person?
Oh man, God, I've seen a lot. Would I be wrong to say Billy Ray McCrary?
Dude, I'm talking about transcendent, like MVP, like Rouse, of his team,
oh
level
my
talent.
God.
Yeah, Billy
he transformed that entire. You know what? In a way, it's kind of like Mason Shore, because once Shore took over quarterback, Rouse.
But there's
flipped.
No Shore without McCrary, you know?
No. Oh, God, Billy Ray McCrary was so dang good. He wound up going to Cal for a year and then left. And Abilene, he went to a couple of different schools. Abilene Christian, I believe, is his last. If he's not, this should have been his senior year.
And so, not to put you on the spot, but I know Derek Cohen asked you this the other day. This is a year that is not void of basketball Division I talent. Can you name drop some of those guys that we're going to be seeing play college basketball here pretty soon? On those guys, St. Marcus, St. Michael's has a couple.
Yeah, for St. Michael's, they added Mashai Hill, who's a D1. He's going D1 and played for Hendrickson. And he started as a freshman, but now there's been a lot of people defecting from Hendrickson. They're going to other schools. But St. Michael's added him. So now they have 2 6'9" guys that are both class of 23. So they're going to be there 2 years. And they're expecting to win state for 2 years in a row. And for San Marcos, the football team getting back to the playoffs, I think that success is going to emanate through the school.
Right.
And their basketball team, if I'm mistaken, they beat somebody 70-10.
Damn.
This week. Sam Martin, and they
got that lefty guard. I like him.
That's Caden Gums that you're thinking about. But the big one is
we had
Malik Presley.
Yep. Malik
Presley.
He's got the braids, right?
Yes.
He's another big, tall dude too. Yep. Yep. And the emergence of the guard was huge for Presley. So now they're kind of like a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. And then Westwood, I think, has a guy that you're really high on as well.
Carter King, I think, could potentially get up there. But Zach Ingles, their now third-year starter, he had 32 points in a win just a couple of days ago. And I think he could. He's very cold. He's our new Colton Benson, Zach Ingles, for Westwood. He's the area's new Colton Benson. You'll see.
That's some pressure, because Colton Benson's all-time leading scorer, Bowie basketball history. It's not even close.
I like the
He's got me by like almost 3,000 points.
There's a text.
Almost 3,000, not quite 3,000.
Yeah, not quite 3,000, almost.
This says the best player they've ever seen, and I agree. Probably the most impressive football player, I mean, besides Vince Young.
We're talking about live. Like, you're actually there in the stadium watching. Mm. That's what you meant, yeah, right, Zach?
Correct,
yeah, you're
correct.
Actually in the stadium watching them play. Vince, like, most of us saw Vince in the state championship game. You know, that's when the first time I saw Vince at Houston Marshall.
Couple sleepers,
Madison,
that I've seen live. Snoop, Storm Woods
from Pflugerville, and wanted to go to Oregon State.
That's a sleeper.
Running back.
I remember Storm Woods.
DeJay Johnson.
Yep, Hendrickson.
He was a really good high school player. I remember one year he was so good. So like that was like the first year they did all the Nike combines and stuff. He was like the highest scoring person like in the history of that when it came out, and he was like real into like dubstep. This black dude that was real into like Skrillex, he wore like cut off jean shorts. He was kind of a weird dude, and we used to be practicing baseball, and the stadium was right next to us, like bumping Skrillex hard, bro. Coach, what's his name?
For Hendrickson,
yeah,
Coach
Killian hated it.
How dare you not know his name?
But he was like such a transcendent player. One year in the playoffs, he said, "Coach, I want to kick the extra points," and he kicked the extra points.
Yeah, you got to be an athlete to do all that, for real.
Jaden Williams was dope.
Yeah, for real. So, somebody said best player they ever seen was Cedric Benson coming out of
Abilene, right?
I think Lee? He went to Lee.
Minden Lee, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, he went to Lee. I just remember him killing Westlake at DKR. He had about 5 touchdowns. I want to say that was a state championship game. And you know me, I was hyped. You know, like, because Westlake, they were rolling that year, and they ran to Cedric Benson, and he went crazy.
The running back for Aledo that went to Texas.
Jonathan.
What was his last name?
Jonathan.
Craig Way probably yelling at us.
Yeah.
But he was like the all-time like touchdown leader in Texas high school, like state history. I think he had like
Jonathan Gray
had like 6 or 7 or something in the state championship game. But man, we like are truly blessed, honestly, like not only in the Austin area, but just like our knowledge of the sport and being in a state where like the high school sports is so revered that like we really get to see players playing on Saturday. Like, oh, I remember that guy, Zay Jones. Went to Austin High.
Austin
like
High.
Snoop like interviewed him, like was cool with him, and now he's like a really good receiver in the NFL. Like,
yeah, for the Raiders.
Baker Mayfield I played against him in baseball. Snoop covered him in multi sports and first overall pick in the NFL draft. Like, so we are really super lucky to be like to be able to see these people like before they are what they are, you know?
Absolutely. Great point, Zach. Great point. We'll be back, Snoop, Zay. And we got Zach Lucero in the building for the Morning Horn Blitz. We're going to get to the last segment when we come back and then throw it to Light the Tower with Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop will be back behind the board. After that, normal programming schedule. We got we got Shirts and Skins. They'll be on, and Byron Jones will be talking about, you know, what he talked about. Y'all know what's going on, Byron Jones. And then after that, we got the Pumpkin Crew with my man Parker. Who is it? Who's a Snoop?
Cameron Parker.
My bad, Cam. Cameron Parker, Patrick Davis, and Stephen Kabler. All right, so tune in for that all day. We got you covered on the Horn.
Snoop, Zay. The Horn Morning Remix.
Welcome back. We're about to wrap up shop. Snoop, Zay, the Horn Morning Remix, filling in for B&E. Glad those guys get the day off. Thanksgiving tomorrow. Thankful for everybody at the station, behind the scenes, on air. Everybody's been big time this year. Everybody's been working hard, busting their tail to give y'all that good product that y'all crave every week. Even though the Texas football team might not be what we thought they were going to be coming into 2021, you still got a lot to be thankful for. Remember that, all right? Zach, what you got for us, dog, before we ride out?
So I was over there doing my little show prep research. You know how I do.
Professional.
Trying to be professional. Snoop, Zay, and Zach trying to get there. USA Today, what is your state's favorite Thanksgiving dish? Based on Google share, like Google. So people Googling like recipes and stuff. Any idea or guesses what Texas's would be? State or state's most popular Thanksgiving dish.
Wow. See, I don't want to go crazy and say like brisket or something, but it can't be that. We're more traditional, I would think. So, green bean casserole.
Snoop?
Cranberry sauce.
USA Today says Texas' most popular Thanksgiving dish, broccoli rice.
That's not even a dish.
It is good.
What?
Broccoli rice.
I like it.
That's a thing?
Yes. Oh, yeah, got cheese in it? Oh, yeah, it's good.
That's
like kind of
the
Tex-Mex flair with the rice, I guess, and we in Texas.
I don't even know what that is, fellas.
It's good, fam.
Y'all making up stuff. What about Florida? Because I know theirs must be toe up.
Let's see. Florida, butternut squash.
See? Told you.
Butternuts.
Nobody's eating that, man.
And in Georgia, they got regular squash. But Florida, they got the butternut squash. So if you had to say your number one Thanksgiving dish, if this list was your name instead of states, what would your number one be?
Baked. I repeat, baked macaroni and cheese.
With a little crust on the top?
Yes. It has to be put in the oven. CB sent me that Easy Mac on Twitter. That's not it. That's not it. You do not want that Easy Mac, what you give to your kids on a random Tuesday night. You do not want that. If it's not baked, it ain't real. I don't want it. Get it out of here. That's some real soul food that Auntie will be fixing up for everybody tomorrow at the Collier household.
Snoop, number one Thanksgiving dish.
Cranberries. Yams.
Yams. Wow.
Candied yams or sweet potatoes?
I don't know. Whatever my mama cooked. I'm not really sure what it is exactly. But yeah, I talked to her yesterday and she was cooking since yesterday. So.
Okay.
She getting it popping.
Oh, she really throwing down. Like she was cooking on Tuesday. Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
And it's really serious. How about you, Zach?
I think for me, it all starts with the rolls. You got to have some good bread. Don't be getting no white bread from Rudy's. I need the Hawaiian rolls in the oven for a little bit.
Yeah.
Make them yourself.
Butter.
Give me some butter, some something. But someone that doesn't agree with Zay's macaroni and cheese opinion, New England Patriots defensive end, outside linebacker Matthew Judon said, macaroni and cheese is trash. Get it off the table. Throw it in the trash can.
That's a joke. Well, see, and that's a brother, too, saying that. He clearly hasn't had no baked macaroni and cheese because there's a huge difference. If you just had the regular noodles that you could get at most restaurants around, like not too many people do baked unless if it's a soul food spot. So
they're not baking it unless it's homemade. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
not,
it has to be different. You want that brown.
They're not making baked mac and cheese in an industrial kitchen. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, you have to. It has to have that golden brown on the top. It has to be in the oven for a little bit. Get that, you know, cheese nice and bubbling. You know what I'm saying? So
then Mac Jones, his quarterback, kind of backed him and said, we can also get the pies off the table. He's not a big pie guy. Any unpopular food opinions?
Well, for one, does Mac Jones look like he has flavor? Like that, his palate looks like how he looks. Very bland. That's why the Patriots like him so much, because he's bland. That, you know what? That might be a Patriots thing, just to be as bland as possible, just like their head coach. Because I'm not, that doesn't make no sense. But, fellas, what are y'all thankful for before we get out of here?
I'm thankful for high school football getting to cover that this year. It's been super fun. Everybody that's part of the Flex group, that's been super fun getting to be with you guys. And Zay, for the opportunity to come do this with you guys.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate that. Snoop?
Thankful for everything. It's all good. I mean, real talk, just life is good, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Snoop and Zay. With guests, we had Adam Wagner from the Wagner Wire on. My man Zach Lucero came in to chop it with us for a whole hour. I will be putting all the hours on SoundCloud. Couldn't do it because I'm behind the board and got more responsibilities. But thank you, everybody. The Horns football plays Friday, Kansas State, 11 a.m., the most 11 a.m. kickoffs ever this season. Horns basketball tonight, Cal Baptist, 7:30. You could catch that game here on 104.9 or Coke FM. Light the Towers next. Shirts and Skins getting popping. Patrick, Steven, and Caleb all got us going. We're going to get I messed the name up. My bad, dog. Either way, we going to be good. I will see y'all Friday. I'll be doing pregame with Chad Hastings. Y'all have a good one. Everybody have a safe, healthy Thanksgiving.